I will be with you always. Very few people can say I'll be with you always. Because most of the time when we say we will be with someone, when things get hard, we'll be looking, we don't see nobody. Everybody will flee. But Jesus can say, I'll be with you always. Good morning, Shiloh. It is indeed a pleasure for me to be here. A big honor also, tell you the truth, to be here with you this morning. It's something that I don't do often, but when I'm asked to do it, I come unprepared. So whatever you hear, that's all it is about. So let's be ready for the ride. But I would like to thank God for his grace and mercy toward me personally. For when I came from Haiti, I came with nothing, and he has always kept me till today. That's 30 years this year. This July 17 will be 30 years since I've been in the U.S. So I spent most of my time in the U.S. And through his grace and mercy, he has provided friends and family for me right here in the city of Trenton. I have found tons of them. So when I go to Haiti, it's just visit. I don't go often, about every 5 years maybe. But I just go to visit. After a week, I want to come back. I want to come back home. I want to thank him for that, for caring for me. Second one, I want to thank Pastor Armstrong, for he has been trusted me with his Bible study and never come to visit me, but he believes that I'm working and doing a good job. So whatever he gave me, I make myself available to his will, so Shiloh Baptist Church can continue whatever ministry he offered me. I always say yes, except one, because I don't like too much work. A pastor will give you work, trust me. He will give you work and make sure that you work. But I want to thank him for accepting me as a friend, as a brother, as a colleague. I will thank him. I also want to thank the men here at the Shiloh Baptist Church. Pastor allowed me to hold a Bible study for the men, and they have taught me a lot. What I did not know, they have taught it to me. When I think I was coming, maybe I had in mind that I'm coming to teach them, but I think they are the one who taught me. And so I want to thank the choir, because I cannot sing. I would like to join them soon and very soon. I thought, since I know how to sing it, but I don't have a voice, that's what they were going to sing. But they said, I will be with you always. This is what they call the great commandment, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. I will be with you always. So I want to thank the men for everything that they taught me, the choir, and I hope that God will bless them, continue to help them strengthen their voice and build more skill with the musicians. So wherever they are, they can help others raise their hand in adorations. And I want to thank all of you who are here this morning, because it's cold outside. This morning it was cold, I don't know now, since I have been here for about 2 hours. It's cold outside, so for God to allow you to come here and in the worship. Please stand with me in the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 19 through 34. The Gospel according to John, verses 19 through 34. Usually I always read only one verse, but the narrative is a very good narrative. It's something that I would like to keep in mind in the light of Black history. Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 19 through 34. I will be reading from the New Living Bible, New Living Translation, The testimony of John the Baptist. This was the testimony of John when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple as assistants from Jerusalem to ask John whether he claimed to be the Messiah. he flatly denied it. "I am not the Messiah," he said. "Well then, who are you?" they asked. "Are you Elijah?" "No," he replied. "Are you the prophet?" "No." "Then who are you? Tell us, so we can give an answer to those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah, "I am the voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare a straight pathway for the Lord's coming." Then those who were sent by the Pharisees asked him, "If you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, what right do you have to baptize? If you are not the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, what right do you have to baptize?" John told them, "I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not know who will soon begin his ministry. I'm not even worthy to be his slaves." This incident took place at Bethany, a village east of the Jordan River, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, there is the Lamb of God who take away the sins of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, soon a man is coming who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before I did. I did not know he was the one, but I have been baptized with water in order to point him out to Israel." Then John said, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I did not know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'When you see the Holy Spirit descending and resting upon someone, he is the one you are looking for. He is the one who baptized with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the Son of God." Thanks be to God. I would like for you to pray with me this morning on the subject, the politics of baptism and its transforming power. Gracious God, we bow before you to give you thanks and praise for all you have done for us and what you are going to do for us. Bless us, guide us, keep us in your hand. This morning in the sanctuary, we ask that you open our heart, mind, soul to what you want us to hear, and what you want us to understand, and what you want us to do. Stay with us. Bless the Shiloh Baptist Church upon whom you have bestowed the ministry of proclaiming your word. May the word go forth and will not become void, come back void to you. Bless us, guide us, not only now, but forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, good morning again, everyone. Since it is a Black History Month, and this is basically what I have in mind, since it is Black History Month, I think it is fitting that I choose the subject, the politics of baptism. How many of you have not been baptized? Can I see some hands? Those who have not been baptized. Okay, those who have not been baptized, I would encourage you to see pastor and other deacons to make arrangement for baptism. That's those who have been baptized, I know all of you have been baptized, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I would still ask you to pray you can continue to use the power of your baptism. Basically, what I would like to begin with, the Gospel according to John, it is something that is very, very interesting to me. It is interesting because Selma, the movie Selma, brought something to all of us' attention, those who have seen it and those who have not seen it. For about 30 years, less than 30 years, from 1890 to 1908, the United States of America was embarked on the biggest thing in American history. America was in the middle of absorbing the largest immigrant groups in its history. Some 18 million new citizens in less than 30 years. And there were the Irish, the German, the Italian, the Eastern Europeans, such as the Russian, the Czechs, those from Bosnia, the Catholics, and the Jews. In less than 30 years, America has absorbed more than 18 million immigrant new citizens. It is important because one of them, by the name of Israel Zangwill, who is a Jew from England, but who immigrated into the United States, and he wrote a poem called The Melting Pot. It is something that when we come to America, like myself, all foreigners who come, they say that we are part of the melting pot. But the movie Selma has proved something else. But so since Zangwill has wrote the poem, The Melting Pot, it has a tremendous power in the national imagination of America. Because it is the promise that all immigrants, wherever we come from, we will be part of one America. They would put all of us in the same pot, melt us, mold us to forge a crucible democracy, freedom, and civic responsibility. But what we have seen, the immigrants today are not from Europe. They come from Asia. They come from Latin America. They are the Mexican, the Guatemalan, the Hondurans, the Colombia, the Argentinian, and then they come from Haiti, poor Jamaica. So we come here and we mess up things a little bit. So those who come from Europe, who thought that they are part of America, they are Americans, now they have a group that they don't want to be part of the melting pot. So what they have done, they retracted themselves from the melting pot, trying to preserve their own ethnic identity or finding ways to highlight or defend their own ethnic groups. So therefore, we know the Italian-American has their own thing. The month of March, the Irish are going to have their own things. So every ethnic group, instead of us being part of the melting pot, and what we have become, the melting pot has failed us. And you have seen it. We all have witnessed how the melting pot failed us. The first thing we have seen on the failing of the melting pot is the persistence of segregation. You have seen it with recently when my president was running, and although he became president, we have a Pastor Armstrong, the Birther Movement. You have the Birther Movement, a lot of people said that my president is not from here, he was born in Kenya. His birth certificate is a fake one. In other words, he is not one of us. He is a Muslim. The melting pot has failed us. Even in churches, we have fragmentation. God bless Shiloh, we don't have that Haitian group, African group, because you have seen a lot of churches, what they do, they have Anglo in the morning, Haitian in the evening, in the middle they have Asian churches. So each one of us has our own group and our own association. In college, we have Black Association, we have Latinos Association, we have Asian Association, and a lot of us. So what we have seen is that the melting pot has lost the community. The shared sense of reality, we have lost it. So So what we have witnessed is that the melting pot not only forced segregation, but the melting pot also forced hostility. On January 20, when President Obama was having a what they call the State of the Union address, Representative Steve King, a member of the Republican Party, called one of the guests President Obama had a deportable. A deportable means that she is not one of us. What is she doing here sitting with the First Lady? But this morning, I want to change that a little bit. This morning, as an immigrant myself, I can tell here in America I am home. I can tell here in America I'm a brother. I can tell here in America I'm among family. Why? Because of my baptism in Jesus Christ. And that's the problem with baptism. When you baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, as it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, once you are baptized, you become a member of the human family. The Greek and the Jews can worship together. The Greek and the Gentile can sit together and have a meal. And as we see in the Gospel, according to John, John relates a very good passage unto us, those of us who have been baptized, the importance of baptism. What we have seen, we see the qualities of baptism. It is two Johns. The writer is one. The writer of the Gospel is one John. Is the one that Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus loves. The one who is baptizing is the one that we call John the Baptizer. He is not the writer of the book. But the narrative points out something very important. For those of you who are baptized, let's look at it. It says that John was in the wilderness by the river of Jordan on the other side, baptizing people. As John was calling people to be baptized, he called everybody. He called the Gentiles and the Jews. And people were going in droves to be baptized. And as they were going in droves, the authority noticed something is changing. That there is a new sheriff in town that is changing the law. There is a new sheriff in town that is mixing things, and we don't want mixing. We want to be the only chosen one. So how dare he to bring the Gentile to worship with the Jews? So they sent the authorities to question him. So when they reach, that's a passage, these are not my words. When they reach John on the other side of the river, and they start asking him questions. Who give you that right and authority to baptize? And John said, oh, the one who gave me that right, he is among you. He is coming. He is here. He is among you. The one who gave me that right, he is among you. But as soon as he comes, I will tell you. But they said, no, but we don't have time for that. Tell us who you are. John said, oh, I'm a nobody. I'm not even worthy to be his slave. I cannot untie his shoes, for he had been before me. And what John is saying here, John is looking at how the writer put it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. So John establishes that the one who is coming before me, he is God. For he is the one who called all to be children of God. To them that believe, gave he power to become children of God. So John established, no, I'm nobody here. The one who has the power and the authority, he is right here among us, but he is coming. When he comes, I will call you and let you know who he is. So the power of our baptism, sometimes, if we want to leave the gospel for a minute, sometimes I think you and I, what we have done, because we have been baptized and sanctified with the Holy Ghost, Deacon Poole, and then we have a tendency to become complacent. We forget that we have a power that can change and transform our community. And when we start things will be changed. Joy will come down. Martin Luther King is a good example. Martin Luther King understood the power, the transforming power of his baptism. During the struggle of the civil rights movement, all of you who have seen the movie Selma, you have noticed Martin Luther King has received over 1,000 death threats. His house was bombed. He was about to be killed at every move that he made. But because he understands the power of his baptism, look at what he has done. He used that transforming power to change the adversary, to let them understand the injustice that has been inflicted against the Negroes. He helped the adversary, the oppressor, to open their eyes to see what they are doing in America. It's not fitting in the eyes of God. So you have to change the law. So regardless of what we do, we are going to persist. So the transforming power of our baptism has changed America. So we are no longer Negroes, we are African-American. We are no longer African-American, we are human like everybody. Because through baptism, we all become one in Jesus Christ. But sometimes I wondered, us here in Trenton, what do we do with our baptism? If Pastor Armstrong allowed me, 4 years ago, Mercer Hospital closed down. There is nothing we can do. It's business. But remember, every hospital was always built by the church. Every hospital. Maybe now, the corporation may start making their own. But every hospital was built by the church for the people of God. And when the church become big, they transfer the hospital to the government, like they transfer the hospital to Mercer County. And how many women have children in Trenton over the last 4 years? Is there a maternity ward in Trenton? Or have Trenton been erased on all birth certificates? Over the last 4 years, have Trenton been erased on all birth certificates? Because there are no maternity wards in Trenton, New Jersey, the capital of the city. Hamilton, Robert Wood Johnson in Hamilton, already planned to close the maternity ward, Pastor Armstrong. And what are we doing with our transforming power from our baptism to bring a maternity ward in Trenton? What are we doing? Are we just going to say, oh, it's not my business, or it's the government's business? You cannot blame the mayor. Trenton has no economic base at all. There are no manufacturing in Trenton, no mall in Trenton, no nothing that would bring money to the government. But only you and I have the transforming power to help bring those things back, to revive them, to make Trenton what Trenton used to be. By our baptism, we have the authority to change it. And this is what was happening in the Bible. Because John was changing things. The social class, it is all mine. We all think it's all about me. Because it's about me, I don't care about the other one. But baptism has one thing it does. Because we all died with Christ and rise with him. And the Holy Ghost take over. So the power of baptism come upon you and I to change and transform the community. For we all become one body, one in Jesus Christ. So we are no longer a different ethnic group or a different ethnic background. I may have an accent, but I am one of you. Either you want it or not, we are one. And as such, we become family. We become relative. We have to look out for one and other, because all of us through baptism has one. The second thing in baptism that is very important, I want to bring to your attention, that baptism takes over a lot of things. The first things is important is sitting together. It is difficult for a lot of us to sit together. Right here in the Trenton area, we can tell that the difference in most of the churches is of a baptism. Some churches baptize only in the name of Jesus. So if you have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, when if for some strange reason you move out of town, go to another, to one of these churches, you have to be rebaptized because they do not recognize your baptism. Others, every time you sin, you have to be baptized. Others, the only way for them to accept you through the door, even as a visitor, you must come and be baptized. So the church is being fragmented over baptism. But what baptism does for you and I, it is important to remember that baptism helps you and I celebrate a new life in Jesus Christ. It is very important for us to remember that we have to celebrate that new life. In Jesus Christ, we have a new identity. If someone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Everything has becoming new in Jesus Christ. The people with the law, like America, is a country of law. And is a merging of the people with the law. And with those who don't have laws in Haiti, we don't have any. All I know, there is no speed limit in Haiti. You can drive 10 miles per hour. You can drive 120, 130 miles per hour. And on those roads that big as my hand. But in Jesus Christ, all of these things merge the people with the law, which is the Jewish, and the Gentile without the law. In Jesus Christ, the people who are well off, in other words, blocking themselves as holy and sanctified, can become one as those who are living in the world. Jesus Christ has bring all of us together. For Christian baptism celebrate that change, not only in identity, but also in understanding and behavior. Baptism give me and you a new life. For Jesus Christ has said to Nicodemus, a story that you know better than I, you must be born again, and you must be born of water and spirit. So in baptism, our baptism means that we have to leave our past behind and embrace that new life. For in Jesus Christ there are no Jews, no Greek, for we are one. Last week in the Bible study, we have come to look at a new word. A word that by accident I was watching a movie and I fall upon. And the word is a word called divergent. It's a movie. Some of you have seen the movie. But as I was looking at the movie, since I don't watch movies that often, and I noticed one thing. There is a group that they always want to cut off from society. And today, as we're sitting here in Trenton, New Jersey, I'm asking you and I'm appealing to all of you with the transforming power that the Lord has given unto you. What are we going to help a big influx of inmates leaving prison coming to Trenton where there is no job? Coming to Trenton where they cannot go and live with their mothers or their siblings. Where are they going to be when they leave prison? 14,000 leave the prison every year. When they come to our community, are we ready to receive them? And you and I have that transformative power to look at, to open, to discern, and judge. For we are ambassadors for Christ. And as such, we need to act like an ambassador. An ambassador is a dignitary. An ambassador is a man of honor and a woman of honor, a man of power and a woman of power. But sometimes, I don't know how we act. In my imagination, I think that we just sit and know that we are an ambassador for us, just for myself. And I'm not an ambassador for you. I'm not a voice for you. Whose voice are we as ambassadors? We are supposed to represent Christ and reconcile the differences that is happening in our community. But our community is being depleted. But we, as the voice for that community, what do we do? Sometimes we might say, oh, I can do nothing. And I'm sure that in Trenton, New Jersey, I know Charlotte is not part of what I'm saying, and it's not an indictment of the other churches. I know in Trenton, New Jersey, they have enough churches, enough baptized believers. If we want to be a voice in Trenton, the mayor of Trenton has professed that he is a baptized believer. The mayor of Trenton, in his clergy meeting, he said, and I'm quoting him verbatim, he said, I am an ordained deacon in a local church in Trenton. In other words, as a baptized believer, my door is open for suggestion. As a baptized believer, I am ready to hear and listen to you. But what have we done? How many of you have good ideas and just don't go to the mayor? He has opened the door. He has said it in public. He has come even at Shiloh. He has attended Shiloh. But how many of us with good ideas? I'm sure we have a lot of intelligent people in this room. And I have met many when I came to Trenton. It is one of Shiloh's daughter who guided me through the maze of America into the understanding of where I am, both culturally and everything else. So if I have found one, and I'm sure they have many of them. If one daughter at Shiloh could guide me, and I'm sure many of us can go and help the mayor and help the city of Trenton using that transformative power. We don't have to fight like Martin Luther King had to fight. But one thing is happening, Pastor Armstrong, we are losing our power. The civil rights movement, which have been obtained by the power of a baptized believer by the name of Martin Luther King, we have lost affirmative action, and we have lost a lot of other things that came to it. Even the Voting Rights Act. A lot of states now, as this young lady proclaimed this morning, a lot of states are pulling the Voting right under our nose because they are calling for voter ID. So you and I who are here today, that transformative power that we have received from our baptism, what are we going to do? Those of you who have not been baptized, I would ask you to come and join the family of the baptized believers so that we together we can change and transform our community. And lastly, what I would like to bring to your attention, it is that baptism not only reconcile cultures and people, baptism also is a voluntary response to the message that you have here to join a movement, not just to join the church, but to join a movement. After you hear the message, how powerful baptism makes you, you have to come and join the movement. Because today you and I are living in a pluralistic society. So baptism has become more important. Because now we have all kinds of religion. I don't have to name them because you know them already. But baptism will create a new society. A society that will unify all ethnic groups. Where the melting pot fails, baptism does not. Because wherever we are Christian. Where the melting pot fail and bring hostile environment, baptism bring peace. It takes away hostility. For if a brother has a problem with another brother, we can call and sit together. We can call the elder, sit together, and squash our problem. Baptism can create a new Trenton. Trenton is on the brink of being erased. I don't know how many of you have seen The Eraser. It's a movie by Arnold Schwarzenegger. When people, after 10 years, we would not have a birth certificate. I was born in Trenton, New Jersey. We will not have that. We do not have a maternity ward. What are we going to do, Deacon Poole? Our high school is being closed to be rebuilt. That's one academic year went by. How long is it going to take before our children go back to the high school? Now they are being dispersed. It happened once at the Miller home. They dispersed all the family from Miller home to never return. Is it the same for Trenton High? They are dispersed now to never return. I don't say they never return, but so what are we going to do? Whose voice are we going to be? We are the voice. We are the power. We are the ambassador, the one who can make things change. So through the power of your baptism, I'm calling you to go and transform our community. If we transform Trenton, we transform the world, because our children are going all over. May God bless you. May He guide you. May He stay with you.
Deacons and the deaconess, the clergy are going to extend an invitation.